94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? I took over. I know, Clinton usually does this, but I took over. No, I'm crazy this morning. Crazy. It's a crazy Sunday morning. Sorry, I've like been up a long time.
I'm loving
it. I have. I've been, you know, I went traveling yesterday. So I was in Nova and DC all day yesterday, like spending some time with some friends. I got to see my friend Lane perform live at Fireflies last night with his band Acoustic Groove. He was playing possibly the most beautiful acoustic bass guitar I've ever seen in my life. Like it was gorgeous. So, hey, Clinton.
Hey, Leslie.
How are you?
I'm well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Sorry. There's a lot of people in the studio this morning.
There's a lot of people in the studio this morning.
What is going on?
We're shoved in. That's what we are.
We are. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
So do you have something for us this morning, Clinton?
Today's nonviolent artistic protest comes in the way of a song.
Oh, God.
My chairs are too ornate. But Putin is my mate. That's what people say, ooh, ooh. That's what people say, ooh, ooh. My cabinet's rich and lame. Think global warming is a game. And they hate all the gays, ooh, ooh. That's what people say, ooh, ooh. But I've got Bannon, fresh from Breitbart planning. Says that I'm the man, and he's in my mind, saying it's gonna be alt-right. And the Democrats will tisk, 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 tisk. And the blacks will all get pissed, 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 pissed. Well, we just stop and frisk, 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 frisk. And build a wall, build a wall. Oh, Obamacare's going away, way, 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 way. And the Muslims cannot stay, 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 stay. And Mexico will pay, 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 pay. To build a wall, build a wall. I'm lightning on my feet. Saving factories with a tweet. And I never wet my sheets. No, no, I never wet my sheets. Oh, oh, I'm America's new dad. Think that my daughter's really rad. I wanna grab her by the punim, cause she's such a cutie. The Shayna Punim is just oh, yeah. And I've got Bannon, fresh from Breitbart planning. He's bringing more spray tanning. He says it's fine, cause I'll still be all white. And the Democrats will tiss, 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 tiss. And the blacks will all get pissed, 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 pissed. Well, we just stop and frisk, 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 frisk. And build a wall, build a wall. Oh, and the Muslims have that. And abortion's going away, way, 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 way. And the Muslims cannot stay, 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 stay. And America will pay, 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 pay. To build a wall, build a wall. Build a wall, build a wall. Hold it. Hey, hey, hey. While you're out there protesting and whining about the Russian hacks, I'm laughing all the way to Mar-a-Lago. Because the fact is, we won the Electoral College, and we won the popular vote when you take into account the millions of illegal votes that were cast. And we gave the Republicans the Senate and the House, and we're giving them the Supreme Court, too. Because we got a mandate. It's the biggest, it's the best, it's the most wonderful mandate. It's the best mandate you've ever seen. And it says no matter how far right you go, three strikes and you're out. Time limits on public assistance, increasing black incarceration, bailing out the banks, drones killing everyone in Afghanistan, embracing the surveillance state. They're never gonna love you as much as one big old rich. I'm sorry, was that more than 140 characters? Was it? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Darn.
That's all right, because I've got Mike Pence prepping, but Ryan's doing my slapping. Feels like we're goose-stepping, so fall in line and test the American Reich. And the KKK will thank, 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 because the blacks all get shank, 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 shank. We'll laugh to the bank, 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 bank. When we build a wall, we'll convert the gays to straight, 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 straight. Show the Muslims the gay, 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 gay. Gonna make America great again as we build a wall, build a wall.
Right. Oh, oh my. I love that, Clinton. Thank you. That was amazing.
I think it's time to go to our first guests who are sitting in shock now. What did we get ourselves into?
Right.
Don't worry, every guest says that when they come on our show.
We could have used you at the opening.
We've got two wonderful visual artists with us joining us, one through telepresence and one through actual presence. Please welcome to the show for the first time, Greg Brannick. Let's see if I can get that out. Greg Brannick and Titus Marcus. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good morning.
Good, good. Welcome to Homegrown, show about local art.
Thanks for having us.
That was a nice performance, by the way. I enjoyed that.
Thank you, Titus. Thank you.
You should take that to the downtown mall.
Right?
I think the more I do that on the open, the more I run the risk of the Secret Service. Actually, I think it's private security force just beating the crap out of me. So you guys have a joint exhibit or two joint exhibits that have opened just at the Bridge PAI.
Correct.
And they're fun and they're interesting. The names of both the exhibits, like I said, joint exhibits running concurrently. Greg, yours is Portals, and Titus, yours is Trailer Park Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Greg, you want to tell us about? I'm sorry, Greg. I gotta go. I gotta go to Titus first. Titus, Trailer Park Witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's obviously a story behind it, and there's also a fictional story that I kind of spun to go along with it as a write-up to accompany the show, to accompany the works. But it comes from, you know, a couple of my friends and I were always sending each other Instagram memes back and forth as, you know, a source of entertainment. And they all, of course, have hashtags. And we came across one with a hashtag, Trailer Park Witchcraft. And it was a post of some type of kebabs in a grocery store, God knows where, and they were Vienna sausages or hot dogs and pieces of corn on the cob made into skewers. And it was so obscure and so hilarious, and it was just, you know, hashtag Trailer Park Witchcraft. It just kind of stuck. I'm always saving phrases or funny things that I come across, you know, with anticipation of using it somehow, whether it be a title or a title for a show. So that's where it came from.
So was it the hodgepodge nature of it that also, because it seems, I mean, it's a great title just in and of itself, even if it didn't refer to anything, but considering the multiple textures on your work and the subtle layering, did the hodgepodge nature appeal to your work in that way?
Well, I'm not really. I think the obscurity and the you know, the various layers and colors on my work or within my work, they just kind of seem to lend itself to each other. You know, like I said, I'm always collecting phrases, and that one just kind of worked. I mean, of course, I chose it and then, you know, kind of chose works that kind of fell into that. But, you know, choosing works to fall in a category, Trailer Park Witchcraft, is more of a feeling than something you can really verbalize.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Greg, could you describe, let's talk about your part of the exhibit, or your exhibit. Could you describe your work for how would you describe your work? Could you describe at least the work that's hanging in Portals?
Well, the title Portals relates to how I like to sort of penetrate the surface of the painting in a window to the universe. it's important for me to sort of break that whole flat picture up and try and get as deep as I can with the paint without using perspective or traditional means. That's always been a challenge for me, and it's a constant challenge, which I used to do these pictures about 10 years ago, and I took a break in between, did some other stuff, but have gone back to it because I just find it so exhilarating.
Yeah, well, I think it's a challenge that you've succeeded, because I remember when I was looking at the paintings that, I mean, you found a hole in my vocabulary, because my initial impulse is, wow, they're surprisingly simple. But then I said, no, they're not simple. They're surprisingly complex, but at the same time, they are simple. And I just and you caught me in the middle between simple and complex without a way to actually describe what it was that I was seeing. And I've been thinking about it since then. I still can't come up with a way, but there was that feeling that you told about, just like sinking more and more into the paintings.
Right. Right. They often tend to change at times looking at them to me. I notice things looking at them a second time, third time, and the longer I look at them. That's what I love about them. They are simple and a minimalist quality, but they offer a lot of depth when I succeed. I don't always succeed with each color as I'd like to. The colors each have their own different transparency, which creates the challenge. But yes, I try to get as much depth through the layers and create an opening.
Yeah, when I was looking at I think my favorite one was the like deep teal one that you have. And it's like, like all of them have kind of like a wispy kind of like otherworldly kind of cloud that seems to go through them. But when I looked at that one, it really was like I was looking into a portal that was just forming, and that's one of my favorite colors. So that's why I was attracted to that one. Right. But, it was really intriguing, because then I went back and I looked at the rest of them. I'm like, okay, wait a minute, let me go back and look. Oh, I get it now. It was really interesting. Like something that, like Clinton said, something that if you just glanced at it, you'd be like, oh, it's a color.
Yeah, I get that.
But like standing there and looking at it for a minute, you're like, oh, I get it. Wait a minute, what is that? but it was really cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'd like to interject something if I may.
Sure.
Yeah, good.
The title, once having that title and looking at them, you know, I agree with what you're saying. I really enjoyed the connection between them and the title. They were almost like just the thought of them being portals in the different monochromatic, the different color choices, it's almost like each one would be a different dimension. You know, it's like if you walked up to it and touched it, it would be, you know, you'd be able to put your finger through it, like, you know, like some type of, obviously, portal.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, speaking of color, Titus, could you talk about your relationship to color, at least the color choices? Because the thing that makes both of those exhibits sitting next to each other so engaging is they're both, I don't want to say vibrant in color, because they both treat color differently, but they're both very strong in color. But you've got a lot of vibrant colors in yours.
Yeah, and they do. They did work together. You know, mine is much more, I guess you could say, busy or layered, perhaps. Not that there's not layers to Greg's work, but obviously more.
Right, but you actually have other media placed in each of yours, right?
Well, they definitely worked together, in my opinion. Even though they are drastically different in certain ways, they did work together. But as far as the color stuff, you know, I think I'm just naturally drawn to a lot of bright stuff. And, you know, I have different ways of choosing color. Sometimes it's what I have left. You know, it's what I can't afford to buy any paint that day, and I'm just able to use what I have. Sometimes I draw colors randomly, you know, and just try and come up with things, leave it to chance. And then, of course, sometimes, you know, I think, you know, I spend time staring at it and kind of feel like, oh, I need something darker, and what would that be, you know, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, when we were talking Friday, when I came by the exhibit, I think I said to you that the colors in yours are very Day of the Dead.
Right.
Like, especially that one flower one. I was like, that is a Day of the Dead mask disguised as a flower pot. That's what that is.
I should do some ash and start doing some sugar skulls.
Right?
No, but wait, Day of the Dead and not Day of the Living Dead. I'm with you now.
Okay.
It took me a moment.
You're good now?
But
I'm
with, actually, but still works with Day of the Living
Dead. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I'm not confusing the two. Am I Day of the Dead is the sugar skulls, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So the piece of yours that most attracted me was the lace one, because I'm walking by it and it attracted me because that lace pattern is like a tablecloth that my grandmother had. So,
yeah.
You know, so I'm walking by and I'm like, I know that pattern. Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love that you were able to make that connection. And just as I said about phrases and words for titles and stuff, just as I collect those, I collect materials. Oftentimes we'll shop Goodwill or yard sales for fabrics. And for the most part, nothing's off limit, you know. So tablecloth, it works. You can see some of the previous layers of color through the holes.
Yeah.
And also, having been put on, even if I had put it on the canvas perfectly, when I came back with the grease stick and the oil pastel, it's still when you go across, it's like a rubbing. Like the pattern, the sewn pattern, picks up the color. So it's kind of like a rubbing. Like,
yeah, and it almost had like three different shadows because you could tell that when you rubbed across it, it moved slightly, so it created like a reverberation of it inside the painting. Yeah. It's really cool.
Because it wasn't put down intentionally. You know, there were some ripples in it and stuff, which is part of which is something I love. I mean, when I put down fabric, I mean, it started out as being difficult to put a large piece of fabric down perfectly. But, you know, what started out as mistakes became something that I embraced.
Well, isn't that the life of an artist?
Yeah. Taking advantage of accidents is crucial.
Yes, yes. Accidents become your friend.
Yeah, and that's
like the penicillin theory of art.
That's really, if you can't embrace that, I mean, I find it hard to have fun if you can't embrace that.
Yeah. Hey, let's do a drop. I think we take a moment for station identification here. 14 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just joining us, welcome. Good morning. Did you got the coffee? You got the tea? You got a little line of Coke? Just the teeniest line of Coke.
Clinton!
It's just some breakfast Coke.
No! No.
Just to wake you up.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We are here talking with Greg Brannick and Titus Marcus, two artists who have joint exhibits going at the Bridge PAI, just opened last Friday. I want to throw the same question to both of you. First to Greg, because Greg, you mentioned it. You were talking about how you search for depth or try to achieve depth without using perspective, without using traditional means. What is behind that choice of eschewing traditional means and eschewing perspective? I mean, I don't have the, I'm not an art expert. I don't know if I would talk about your art as abstract. But certainly it's like, you've got that minimalist quality and it's like, whoa, what is that?
Well, I studied under a lot of sort of abstract expressionist teachers, and I guess you know, moving away from, say, Matisse with the windows and that kind of perspective, but he also used the colors to achieve that depth, and letting go of those methods and pursuing just a pure color excursion was attractive to me.
Really? Because it seems like that would be scary to me, because I mean, your paintings were compelling, but I looked at them and I sat there and I thought, how did he know when it was done? Right, because it's...
Yeah, that's an age-old question.
But I think that's a question that every artist has exactly, about anything.
Exactly. It's easy to overwork the paintings. And when you're done, it's always a tough moment.
So when I was looking at them, I noticed that the portal in each one of them was always in a different place, and it was always a different configuration. So is that how you know when you're done? Like when the portal looks right?
I know that's really objective.
Or is it when you actually fall through? Because they really are portals, aren't they? Right. Aren't they? You can tell us. It's really.
We won't tell anybody.
Falling
we swear.
Is the fun part. But I guess they're all sort of lined up differently because I, as you said earlier, start taking advantage of accidents or mistakes rather than letting the painting sort of take over. And chasing it in a sense, and dancing with it, and finding out where you end up. That's the fun part for me.
Yeah,
it's sort of that it's a dance almost, and you know, give and take. And it's a push and pull.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't try to set out to do anything too specific. Rather, I'll start with some generalizations, and then captivate on that and work my way out of the painting from those initial marks.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Titus, same question. How did you decide to buck tradition and do what you do?
And not just do a landscape.
Right.
Not to say anything against landscape painters. Don't hate me.
I don't know if mine was necessarily as much of a conscious decision. I mean, I was, you know, I went to Longwood and I was studying teaching. I was in my final stages of a teaching degree, and I was introduced to Jean-Michel Basquiat, and he was, if anyone abandoned any tradition, it was him. And, you know, he was one of the first artists that I discovered that really pushed me and really pushed and, like, really lit a fire for me, you know, and not studying anything traditionally or, you know, being an art student in the traditional sense, you know, just kind of grew out of that naturally. So I don't think it was really, I think it might be something that I've consciously kept alive or continued, but it wasn't an original intention.
So, Titus, what has it been like working with the bridge and the people there?
Or Greg?
Yeah.
How did you guys find each other to do this joint show? Was it the bridge, or was it you guys, or what?
Well, the bridge actually linked us up together. So we got to Greg and I, you know, were introduced, and we got to discuss the show and titling the show and working together beforehand. But we did not know each other before the bridge linked us up, but. I mean, everything's been great. I mean, you know, Greg and I think everything works well together. Lisa and Alan both have been great. You know, it's been a real pleasure working with them. I love the space. You know, it's really been a great experience all around. So
Greg, when the bridge comes to you and says, okay, we want to pair you with this guy that you don't know about, is there a moment of,
Not particularly. There's always a little bit of apprehension, but I, you know, I trusted the bridge would pair it up nicely, and they did match us well together. So that was good of them.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Greg. I just trusted them as well. I just want to piggyback on that. I mean, when they said it, it didn't even occur to me. I just trusted their judgment that they were pairing well.
Yeah, well, their judgment was really strong in this case, as I said, because the two shows work really well together. In fact, the way they're set up, Greg, you've got one side of the room, Titus, you've got another side of the room. As I was looking at it, I was wondering what my experience would be like if your pieces were interchanged.
I had the same thought.
Like interspersed. I understand why you did it the way you did it, and that's cool. You can keep the integrity of your work the way it is. But you know, it was just there was such an interesting simpatico that I was driven there. Anyway, yes. Titus, Greg, thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you know how long is the exhibits going to be up?
They will be up through the 27th. Is that correct, Greg? I'll be there.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
28th.
Right, right.
So, Trailer Park Witchcraft by Titus Marcus and Portals by Greg Brannick at the Bridge PAI up until the 27th. Go check them out. It's well worth it. Well worth it. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Looking forward to having you back on Homegrown. Let's talk about some of the other artistic events we've got going on in our wonderful artistic town. This is your last day to see Guys and Dolls at Live Arts. When you see a guy reach for stars in the... I bet you it's sold out, but try it anyway if you want to get that last opportunity. Today and tomorrow, auditions for The Realistic Joneses at Live Arts. The Realistic Joneses is about two suburban couples, both named Jones, who share more than just their names. Dum-bum-bum-bum. Check out Live Arts for more information. January 19th, Big Blue Door Improv Night. The Experience at Seville Coffee, also on the 19th. From the 19th to the 23rd, Charlottesville High School is doing, get this, Rent, the school edition. That's right. Some 15-year-old girl is going to be dancing as Mimi, talking about how she's got the best ass in Brooklyn. Yes, indeed. And then getting hooked on heroin. It's all January 19th to January 23rd. Edition of Rent, the school edition at Charlottesville High School. January 19th, Eyes on Art Tour at the Fralin Art Museum, a program done with the Arts Fusion Program of the Central and Western Virginia chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Why? Because their aim is to engage people with Alzheimer's in meaningful discussions about art. January 20th, the Bridge PAI reading series hosted by Julia Kadravitz and Amy Whittlemore. This month, the reading is actually an open potluck and discussion in the wake of this year's election called Community Gathers. Check it out at the Bridge PAI. Stay afterwards for Bent Improv at the Bridge PAI on January 20th. January 21st, 24/7 by Whole Theater at Live Arts. A bunch of plays, or a half a dozen plays done in 24 hours. Written, conceived, put together, performed within 24 hours at the Live Arts. Check it out. It's always a good time. January 21st, seminar at the Charlottesville Writer House, Publishing Your Fiction with Doug Lawson, about getting your stuff out there with a focus on traditional and electronic media. Hey, David. There you go. Traditional and electronic media. Online and offering magazines and strategies. January 23rd and January 24th, auditions for Noel Coward's Blythe Spirit, or should we say Noel Coward's Blythe Spirit at Four County Players. January 28th, seminar at the Charlottesville Writing House. Another seminar. These are some great seminars. Check them out. Write Without Wrong with Phil Jason. And unlearning, or at least exploring, the territory outside of the rules that you were taught dogmatically back when you first learned how to write. And some, just some of the musical options today. William Walter, Tucker Rogers, and Gary Green at the Glasshouse Winery. Tonight, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Tomorrow, ATM Unit with Jonah Kane West at Rapture. January 17th, Travis Elliott and Bob Huntington at Fellini's. January 18th, it's the Round Town Get Down Band at Dirty Nelly's. And Orm Storm at Rapture. Get your goth on and don't get it off. January 19th, Skip Haga at Dirty Nelly's. Nick and Stephen Pollock going to town. Also, January 20th, Open Music Jam at James River Brewing Company. The Gladstones, that's Charlie Pasterfield and Bob Girard at Dirty Nelly's. And Richmond's synth-based psychedelic rock band Dr. Collins. And Seville's screamo hardcore band Smoke Signals at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. On January 21st, it's DJ Groovematic at Rapture, the Pollocks at Prorenata Farm Brewery, Rattlebag at the Whiskey Jar, Eli Cook Band at Dirty Nelly's, Evan Mook at Fellini's, and the band that's on my list for coolest name, Tequila Mockingbird at World of Beer. Of course, every Monday it's the singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Tuesday it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. I love how I was avoiding doing the Irish accent when I first did these lists, and now I'm just diving more and more into it. Pretty soon I'll be looking for my lucky charms and getting hate mail from every Irish national out there. Every Tuesday is the open mic night at the Ante Room. Every Wednesday, the open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery and the Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. And you can't think Wednesday without thinking of the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And speaking of Miller's, Thursday come around. Thursday evening coming down. Head over to Miller's for the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the wonderful artistic options in our wonderful artistic town. If you're an artist and you have an event, you'd like people to know about it, we'd like them to know about it, tell it to us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownWPVC, or you can send it to us at our handy-dandy email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. Drop. No drop, no drop. Hey, it's 31 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner, breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, and carefully constructed diner food in the evenings and afternoons. And speaking of the evenings, Leslie, speaking of the evenings, our guest that we haven't introduced yet, Blue Moon Diner in the evenings is gracious enough to support visiting and local artists this week! On Tuesday, tree-hugging troubadour Amy Andrews from Decatur, Georgia. Oh, my. On Wednesday, it's Jim Wave, I do declare. A tree-hugging troubadour from Decatur, Georgia. Catch her before she heads to Louisiana to catch a streetcar named Desire. I'm sorry. On Wednesday, it's Jim Wave singing the country like when the country wasn't cool. Thursday, it's Mojo Pie. And Friday, Northern Virginia folk music duo Troy and Paula Hogg. Do that drop.
Hi, this is Charlie Pasterfield,
Susan Munson,
and Stuart Holm
from Mama Tried.
And you're listening to
Homegrown Radio on 94.7.
I just love the way they do that.
They are great. Stay tuned afterwards with the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. But before that, you don't get rid of us that easily. As much as you'd want to. We want to welcome to Homegrown our next guests. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey.
Good. Coming on. Get closer to the mic. Closer. All right. There you go. Coming all the way over the mountain. Thank you.
Thank
from
you.
Our friends in Stanton from the Shenandoah Valley. Oh, Shenandoah.
Hey, I come over the mountain every Sunday. You
and
never
I thank you for
me.
That. No, I thank you for that.
All right. I'm just checking.
You're just checking that I do what I do. Okay. Welcome to Homegrown, Diana Black and Liz Leone.
Leone.
Should have checked beforehand.
That's okay.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Of course. So, you know, full disclosure, Diana and I have met.
Yes.
She worked with us when we did Five Women over at Shannon Arts. Yay! Shout out to all of our Five Women family.
They know each other in the Roman sense. Which means they know each other artistically.
Yeah, okay. I was questioning where you were going with that. I told you, we don't work blue on the show. only I do. Anyway, so Diana, tell us about, this is a benefit concert for Cat's Cradle, right?
That's right.
So tell me about how you got involved with it.
Well, tell us about Cat's Cradle. What's Cat's Cradle?
All right, well, if you have ever been to downtown Harrisonburg, you have probably walked past Cat's Cradle. It's an animal rescue, and it services three counties in the Shenandoah Valley. And I am actually on the board of directors, and my fellow collaborators include our executive director, Jennifer Kirkland. So Cat's Cradle does amazing life-saving work. It does spay and neuter programs. We adopted out over 600 cats this year alone, which for an organization of our
size is pretty
impressive.
Hit us with that number again.
Over 600 cats adopted this year alone.
That's awesome. We are both cat people.
Right.
So,
like. That's why we get along so well, Leslie.
Yes.
I think that's how you know your tribe.
Right.
So yes, our cabaret is benefiting Cat's Cradle, but that's just one of the many reasons why it's worth your time.
Yeah. So basically, for those of you who don't know what a cabaret is, that means you come, you sit down, and people sing lovely songs to you. For how long? How long is the show?
The show is roughly an hour and a half. It's got an intermission. The intermission involves refreshments. We know what motivates people.
Right.
And
give me a drink.
What's really unusual about the songs that you're sitting down to hear is that there's an element of storytelling to them, and there's a real primacy to the lyrics when you're in the cabaret form that maybe in a recital or in a concert would not be the focus.
Right.
And there's a real emphasis on making it your own through your interpretation of those lyrics and through that storytelling.
So, Lee, you're performing.
Yes.
What are you performing? What are a couple of the songs that you're singing?
Well, some of them are a little more obscure, but I personally am singing from a new musical, Bridges of Madison County. It's called Almost Real.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also singing this new music theater sort of showcasey song called O Henry Bar, which I think is pretty funny. And my last song is a Sondheim, and it's called There Won't Be Trumpets.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Oh my God.
And then we're doing some quartets, trios, and a duet as well. So,
which is long overdue, because ever since I met this woman, I have wanted to sing with her specifically.
You've wanted to know her Romanly?
Perhaps not biblically, but not because she isn't beautiful. And this has been a wonderful kind of seeing that dream to fruition, and getting a chance to see how her artistic process works and how complementary it is to mine. And also with our third collaborator, Jennifer Kirkland, what we each bring to the table is so distinct. And that's been a joy.
So cabaret, it's something that you get a lot in certain big cities. Like, there's a lot of cabaret in New York, a lot, and a long tradition of it in New York. You don't get a lot of cabaret outside of the big cities, Diana. And Diana, you sound like somebody who knows about cabaret and like cabaret. It's its own thing, right?
It really is. It's own
its
animal.
Its own art form.
Yes.
Can you talk about that some more?
Sure. I think that my particular professional background is pretty well suited to cabaret. So for 3 years, I worked as the story lady at the Stanton Public Library. And for kids and occasionally for adults, my job was to present stories. And I also wrote a lot of plays for the puppet shows for the kids. And I really got interested in the narrative aspects of human psychology and how we're such storytelling animals. And the way we make sense of our lives, the way that we organize all of that chaos is through stories. We make it work in our own minds by telling a story. And I think what really gets me excited about cabaret is that it combines my love for two things, which is music and storytelling. And there are many forms like theater, musical theater, that do that. But with cabaret, the emphasis is on the things that I think are most important, which is, what is the performer's individual kind of constellation of talents? What do they have to offer that's unique? Which I think in New York is why so many performers want to show a cabaret, because rather than fulfilling a role that someone else has written,
you get to make it.
Exactly. You're saying to the world, this is what I and only I have to offer.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I think a lot of people in this area would be interested in getting involved in. I'm just saying.
I think so. I would welcome it.
Absolutely.
So how many shows are you doing?
We're doing two shows. One is Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's the 21st, and then Sunday at 2, the 22nd.
And where are the shows?
At Oxeye Winery, the Tasting Room in downtown Stanton.
It's across from Sunspot's Glassblowing Studio. It's a lovely space,
cool.
Very airy, lots of natural light, beautiful wood floors, great acoustics. So we're very lucky to have it.
And it's in a winery.
Yeah, the proximity to wine was a big selling point.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine
if we're being
so.
Totally honest.
Yeah. So you guys are going to sing a little for us, right?
Yes.
Of course.
Yay! Please tell me you're going to sing There Will Be Trumpets. Please, 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 because it's my favorite song.
I could, but I thought it would be appropriate for us to sing our duet.
Oh, okay.
So, so this duet is typically, it has only, to my knowledge, ever been done as a solo piece. But what struck me about this song, which is from Showboat, so about as classic and straightforward musical theater as one can get. So
right.
Showboat kind of, you know, established what the art form was going to be.
Right.
Showboat set the stage for the songs are going to drive the drama of the narrative. But what I found really striking about Bill, which is the title of the song, was that it's a one-person song, but it's someone who's of two minds about this person.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this would really make a lot of sense as a dialogue between two people who really care about each other, but see different aspects of who this man is.
Right.
So I just played with it a little bit, and I tweaked it so that it was a conversation. And suddenly it took on a whole new dimension that I think is really exciting. So we're glad to share that with you.
Yay!
So the only premise you really need to know is that we are sisters, and she's seeing this guy, Bill, and I do not get it.
Alrighty.
All right.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Knock him dead.
I used to dream that I would discover the perfect lover. Someday I knew I'd recognize him if ever he came round my way.
You always used to fancy then he'd be one of the godlike kind of men, with a giant brain and a noble head, like the heroes bold in the books you read.
But along came Bill,
who's not the type at all. You'd meet him on the street and never notice him.
His form and face, his manly grace,
are not the kind that you would find in a statue.
And I can't explain.
It's surely not his brain that makes you thrill.
I love him because he's wonderful, because he's just my Bill.
That's a higher key than we usually
I'm
do
sorry.
It in.
I am just pulling it out of the air.
That is awesome. Oh my God.
So you can see how when we met each other, there was an affinity immediately, coming from such similar vocal backgrounds and having this shared geekery around classical singing, mm-hmm. which really came to a head about a year ago when we went to JMU to hear the Metropolitan Rising Stars of the Opera. And that really kind of got us thinking along these lines in the first place. So we really owe them a debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Diana and I are both classically trained. I was
really? That surprises me to hear. I would never have.
I never would have guessed that, right? No, I majored in vocal performance at JMU and like opera singing, and then did a career switch to become a first grade teacher. And so I do, miss this element of like sort of recital or cabaret type singing, because I haven't really done it. I did it in undergrad. I did it all the time in when I was studying. And then now my life is, teaching and then the occasional music theater show. And so it was just like, we can do this, Diana, let's do something. Let's go back to our roots and live that out again.
I absolutely agree. One of the things that I have done since college was I did a bit of a career plan switch where I had been a psych major who dabbled in theater, and then I went on to JMU to get my master's in English. And one of the things I love so much about that field is really doing a close reading or mm-hmm. a deep analysis, word by word, phrase by phrase, of whatever the text is. And that's really echoed in my approach to cabaret, and I think Liz's as well. And we bring that discipline and sense of, okay, we need to refine it and find where are the arcs and how is this a play in miniature? So the theme of our cabaret, the title of it is Songs of Ourselves, and that was inspired by Whitman's Song of Myself in Leaves of Grass.
Right, of course.
And remember, if you've been familiar with that, that the kind of overarching message is universality at the same time as individual specificity. So our cabaret really embraces that notion as it applies to women's lives. So it's really about snapshots of women's lives, different experiences that women have at different stages of life, different emotions. And that in turn was inspired by my classical voice training as well as Liz's with the Schumann song cycle Songs of a Woman's Life. And we thought, why don't we update that? Why don't we make that modern? And so a lot of the repertoire we're using is quite modern. And at the same time, it's a very kind of classical concept.
And how many performers are in the cabaret?
Well, the core group is the three of us, Diana, Jennifer Kirkland, and I. And then we invited Daniel Burrows, who is an MC and does some cameo performances. Yeah.
that was, because I thought there was a male involved in that. So how, that's interesting. How are you plugging him into this exploration of moments in women's lives?
Well, so if you think about it, you know, we're not, we don't live in isolation.
Give it time.
It's
a new era, just in time for the Handmaid's Tale movie to come out.
There you go. Well, I think that so much of a woman's life is a reflection of the relationships they're in. It can be romantic or friendship or familial, and you want to be able to portray that using that, the correlation of, you know, this is what my life was in a relationship, or this is what it's like to be in a friend group. And so it was kind of hard to do without at least adding an element of a male figure to incorporate that aspect of a woman's life. And I think that, I mean, I think it's nice that Daniel does the emceeing and stuff, but it also does add that element of, reminding that there's these relationships and there's these friend groups. And I don't know if you have something to add to that.
Well, I definitely think that we are an unabashedly feminist cabaret. That has been part of the conceit from day one, having that ethos. But what I think Daniel brings to the table is he's someone with an ineffable kind of charm. And he really got on board with the concept very early. And one of the things that I really appreciate about him is his versatility, and that if we ask him to sort of represent a woman's familial relationships or companionate relationships or romantic relationships, he can fill in any gap we need him to. So he's really quite a chameleon, and we're very lucky to have him. He's a veteran of the American Shakespeare Center. And I want to talk a little bit about Jennifer Kirkland for a minute.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
I think we would be remiss if we did not.
Before you talk about Jennifer Kirkland.
Sure.
It's 48 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just joining us, where have you been? Most of the show's gone by now. But fortunately, we're in the middle of a bang-up conversation with Diana Black and Liz Leone coming over to us from Stanton and Harrisonburg, talking about their upcoming cabaret.
Cat-beret.
Cat-beret.
Thank you, David.
Of mostly American music. Songs of ourselves.
That is, in fact, how we have been marketing it. We do a little parentheses around the T, but yes, most people have been referring to it in shorthand as the cabaret. So we were talking about Jennifer Kirkland, the great Jennifer Kirkland. So when Liz and I first came up with the idea of collaborating, we were very satisfied just with the idea that the two of us would be involved, and we were thrilled. But then we thought, oh, you know what? We could really use a music director. And Liz and I had the pleasure of working on Stephen Sondheim's show Company a few seasons ago under Sandy Belcher's direction. And our music director was Jennifer Kirkland. She was also in the cast playing the role of Joanne, and immediately struck me as someone who in every way knows what she's doing. Someone of impeccable competence.
Was this the recent version of Company at Blue Ridge?
Yes.
I saw that.
You saw that?
I saw you guys.
Do you remember us?
She was Amy, and I was April.
Oh, you guys are good. Amy, that's a... You did a good...
Oh, thank you.
That's a killer song. That isn't... I don't think that even rates as a patter song. It's just a song on speed.
Yeah,
the Major General can sit down.
Yeah, the joke is the only way I was able to do it is because I'm from New Jersey and I know how to speak so fast that there's nobody else around here that could have possibly done that.
I would agree. Unless Danny Kaye wants to come back from the dead, it's got to be Liz.
Man. Yeah, you can tell that was Sondheim writing in the 70s because he's just like, yeah. I just got this idea for this great song. It's going to be really great.
They're not going to be able to breathe ever. We're not going to put a space for them to breathe. No breathing.
Just take a breath and sing for the next 5 minutes.
Yep.
Yes. She did a fabulous job.
Oh, thanks.
And I thought that was one of the most satisfying experiences artistically that I've ever had. Also, it was great fun. So Jennifer had done such a wonderful job music directing us, and we had such respect for her. And at that point, I had come on board the committee for Cat's Cradle. I had joined the board thanks to Jennifer being the executive director and inviting me to come on. And so when we said, Jennifer, would you like to music direct this recital/cabaret we're thinking about doing? She said, I think I'd rather be in it, if that's okay. To which we replied,
Of course. That's more than we would ever imagine.
Yes.
What an honor, really.
Because Jennifer in Stanton and elsewhere is very well known, has fans as a jazz singer. She's received a National Endowment for the Arts grant. Her work with guitarist Burt Carlson is the stuff of legend. So I am a huge fangirl of both Liz Leone and Jennifer Kirkland. So getting to work with them feels like something of a coup. I keep pinching myself. But Jennifer brings a gravitas to the proceedings and an amazing capability and versatility that without her, the show would be profoundly impoverished. It is so enriched by her presence, and she is an inspiration to me both artistically and in terms of her leadership. So she's been a great mentor, I think, for both of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Well said. I think that this is, I can't believe this is true, but I think this is the first time in over a year of shows that someone has used the word gravitas on our show. It's been way too long. What have we been doing that it's taken this long?
We'll give you your prize after the show.
I'm often lovingly mocked by my collaborators in this cabaret for my love of SAT words.
Yes. I'm just like, you're going to have to give me a definition there.
And yes, I can use that word in a sentence.
I am a professor at JMU. That's my day job.
I only teach first grade. So if I can get, you know, a complete sentence, I'm good.
The good thing is the way American education is going. The difference between first grade and in college, much, much closer than
you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're trying
to say there.
Wow. All right.
Not like that joke, the first grade.
I'm just like, you're right. We're doing research reports and writing full paragraphs.
That's awesome. I would not mind if my students had the discipline of some of her first graders.
So much is going on behind this performance, behind this piece. It's what was it that I guess it seems like, is it that the guiding impulse, because you've got one, it's a benefit for Cat's Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
Two, your just artistic desire to do something. Three, your desire to do something together. What was the guiding force? What was the thing that got you into it? Was it your desire to work together? Is that it?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, that really does cover a lot of that. But I know, I guess back to when Diana and I saw the Rising Stars competition at the Met, we just said, we need to bring this back. We need to be able to perform this way again. And this summer, we found ourselves lacking performing opportunities and said, this is the time. This is our opportunity to do something. And, you know, as performers, as musicians or artists or whoever, you know when you need to breathe life again. You're saying, I'm empty of my artisticness. I need to fill that up again. And it was just too long. We hadn't done something since October the year before, and we needed to be alive again in our art form.
Yeah, it's something that I think that non-artists don't know about, mm-hmm. not that they don't get, but they just don't know about the, I don't want to say compulsion because there's such a negative connotation to it, but there is a need. Mm-hmm. There's a drive for mm-hmm. artists to do mm-hmm. art.
I think in addition to all of the things that you said and that Liz said, which are all true, I would be remiss not to acknowledge the role of Jackie Pattison, director of Five Women Wearing the Same Dress, in terms of helping me to really feel like I had what it took to get this off the ground with the help of my collaborators, mm-hmm. because Jackie is someone who models making feminist art, reaching out to people who you believe in, really supporting them. She models mentorship of other women. And all of that really got me feeling like, what am I waiting for? Why, mm-hmm. why aren't I putting my money where my mouth is?
Absolutely.
I need to be more like Jackie Pattison. So that was another really propelling factor for me.
Yeah, it truly was a collaboration that just kind of fell into place. I mean, we all had our parts to play, and things just kept on falling into place. Things just kept working. Everything kept fitting, and everything just kept making sense. And it really, yeah, again, what Diana was saying, why haven't we done this yet? You know? Like,
one thing that I thought was kind of unusual and remarkable was that typically there are a number of concerts put on around the Stanton area where there's an organizing theme, like perhaps a composer. But in our case, we asked each other, what is a side of you that your audience hasn't seen? What is a song that you would really love to sing that you haven't had the opportunity? And once we started compiling that list, not only were we struck by how many sides each of us had, but we were also impressed by the fact that the theme kind of emerged organically from that. We didn't have to impose the theme. The theme really kind of came through on its own as if it had always wanted to exist.
Right.
Well, I'm getting more and more excited listening to this. Diana, Liz, thank you for coming on our show. Go to see this wonderful cabaret. It's at Oxide Tasting Room, January 21st, 22nd. Hope to have you back on Homegrown. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. 56 minutes past the hour. Now it's time for Leslie's weekly rant.
Oh, thank you, Clinton. So my friend Shanique posted something on Facebook the other day and sent me through the roof. It was an extract from a 1950s home economics book. It was tips for women about how to be a quote-unquote good wife. And I thought I'd go through these because I just can't help myself. Gather around, ladies. This is fun. Number one.
Have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal on time. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospects of a good meal are part of the warm welcome needed.
And let me tell you, I have no problem with this. If I'm home and I'm cooking, I will have dinner ready for you when you get home. But I will be tarred and feathered before I give up something I'm doing to make you dinner. You got two hands, right? Ain't nobody got time for that. I got things to do. You understand me? How about if you get home first, you cook dinner for me, let me know you thinking about me. How about that?
Two. Clean away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house before your husband arrives, gathering up school books, toys, papers, etc. Then run a dust cloth over the tables. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too.
Clear the clutter. I'll run a dust cloth over a table simply for your arrival home when you learn how to lift a toilet seat and replace it when using the facilities. All right, let me tell you something. I ain't your maid and I ain't your mama. When I don't have to clean up pee or handprints on the walls, you know what? You best learn to clean up after your damn self and leave me out of it.
Okay. You're getting too hot.
Next one.
We'll do one more. We'll take care of the children.
Yeah. Okay.
Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces. If they are small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part.
If there's more than one of them in the house, you lucky these little rotten baby's kids ain't burned the house down before you get home, okay? Ain't nobody got time to do laundry every 5 seconds after changing their clothes four times a day. If they ain't bleeding and ain't nothing on fire when you get home, consider that a victory. Count your blessings that they didn't kill either one of us today and move on.
Okay, Just before we get out of here, I just wanted to share all my cat puns that I was coming up with while everybody
puns?
Was sitting down.
Seriously? I'm not done.
Is he seriously
interrupting my rant?
Well, you got one more minute. I just wanted to share perspective and not too tabby. But one more. We'll do one more. I know. Not too tabby is great. Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or suggest he lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soft, soothing, and pleasant voice. Allow him to relax. Unwind.
Okay.
Soft and soothing.
I am not your mama, once again, and you are not five. If you need to lay down when you get home, I suppose you can find your own damn way to the bedroom and close the door, which is the universal symbol for wanting to be left alone. And I suppose once you have laid down in the bed on your own, you can take off your own shoes and arrange your own damn pillow. I could arrange it for you, but you ain't gonna like it.
So when four people sing a song for a cat beret, is that called a core cat?
Oh my god.
Are we good?
Oh my
god. We're past time.
Okay. You know what? We're gonna say goodbye. Clinton. Thank our guests, please.
Thanks for listening to Homegrown. Thank you for Titus Marcus and Greg Brannick. Go see their exhibits at the Bridge PAI, Trailer Park Witchcraft and Portals. Thanks, Diana Black and Liz Leone. Go see their cabaret, Songs of Ourselves, their Catch Parade at Oxide Tasting Room, January 21st to 22nd. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your gracious and patient host, Rick Moore. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
I won't be catatonic.
Oh, my.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.